time, we're going to face impossible circumstances. And there we are. We believe in God, but can we rely on his power? Can we really believe that he would possibly give us victory over these impossible odds? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me on Christianity Works. Today we're taking a look at the victory that you already have over the impossible odds that you so often experience in your life. As we get rolling, please don't forget to stay tuned, because in a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you live in God's power and experience his victory each and every day. As I read the story of God and Gideon, Judges chapter 6, 7 and 8, a story that I really encourage you to read for yourself, what stands out for me the most is how God wants us to lay hold of his power, even in the midst of the most impossible of circumstances. In fact, let me say, especially in the midst of the most impossible circumstances. And over these last few weeks on the program, we've seen how Gideon had, at God's behest, mustered the biggest army that he could to fight against the armies of the Midianites and the Amalekites. Even so, it was something of a David-Goliath affair, a minnow of an army, the Israelites, against 135,000 of the Midianites and the Amalekites. That's crazy. But then God pared Gideon's army down to a mere 300 fighting men. Why? Well, Judges chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, "The troops that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Israel would only take the credit away from me, saying, 'My own hand has delivered me.'" I often wonder what Gideon was thinking and feeling in those days and weeks as God reduced his numbers and sent him on what was almost certainly a kamikaze mission, a suicide mission. Surely no one could win this battle. And from a human standpoint, that's often how it feels. Things in our lives are going from bad to worse. Instead of our prayer making things better, things often tumble downwards and we're left wondering, what is God up to? Now, maybe Gideon was made of sterner stuff than thee or me, but even so, he needed to be certain that God was in this. So God, by his grace, gave Gideon an insight into how he had already gone before this tiny ragtag band of 300 men to assure victory. Let's have a listen. We're reading Judges chapter 7, verses 7 to 15. "Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 that lapped, I will deliver you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go to their homes.' So he took the jars of the troops from their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel back to their own tents, but retained the 300 men. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night the Lord said to him, 'Get up, attack the camp, for I have given them into your hand. But if you fear to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to attack the camp.' So Gideon went down with his servant Purah to the outposts of the armed men that were in the camp. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley as thick as locusts, and their camels were without number, countless as sand on the seashore. When Gideon arrived, there was a man telling a dream to his comrade, and he said, 'I had a dream, and in it a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell. It turned upside down and the tent collapsed.' And his comrade answered, 'This is no other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has given Midian and all the army.' When Gideon heard the telling of this dream and its interpretation, he worshipped, and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Get up, for the Lord has given the army of Midian into your hand.'" Do you see what was going on here? God is about to move in Israel's favor with incredible power. Through this tiny band of no more than 300 men, God is about to rout 135,000 Midianites and Amalekites. Just stop and think about that. That the sheer and utter and complete impossibility of that proposition, as you or I are standing there in that night in the middle of our band of 300 men. I mean, it's nuts. And so Gideon's heart is wavering. Gideon's afraid. Why? Well, because what he's being asked by God to do is completely unnatural. We humans have a strong sense of self-preservation. And so when God asks us to do something that, from where we sit, looks completely mad, our hearts waver. It simply isn't natural for us to be in a dangerous place and wait for God to move in power. It simply isn't natural for us to rely on the fact that God has already gone ahead of us to ensure victory. Because through our sense of saving our own skins, we look at the problems and the risks and the dangers that loom so hugely and ominously before our very eyes, and we're afraid. I mean, in the scary things you and I face here and now. Do you see how this isn't just some myth from the past? I wonder if sometimes we miss out on seeing God's power because we just run away from the impossible way too early. Gideon didn't, because he asked God for signs as his heart was wavering, as any man's heart would do facing almost certain death. And then, not once, but twice, Gideon throws out the fleece. God, tonight put the dew on the fleece, but none on the ground. Then I'll know this call is from you. So God does that. And the next night, Gideon, still wavering, just to make sure, asks God to do it the other way around. Put the dew on the ground this time, God, not on the fleece. And God does that. And here he is again, about to attack this huge, huge enemy camp. And again, God gives him a sign. The two men talking on the boundary of the camp in the middle of the night about the fear in their hearts of Gideon. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Get up, attack the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you fear to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to attack the camp." Don't you love that? God knows our frailties. He understands our fears. And so by his grace, he leads us through the difficult times. But you and I, so often, we're so afraid. We're so dejected. We're so busy panicking and running around in circles, flapping and running away. Man, we couldn't hear God if he shouted. We want to see God move in power in our lives. We want to understand what he's up to. We want to be encouraged by God. And yet we run away instead. And then we wonder, why didn't we experience God's power? Why didn't God speak to us? Listen to me today. By definition, if we're going to see God's power in full flight in our lives, then it's going to be in an absolutely impossible situation against impossible odds. And that place, for a time, perhaps a short time or maybe even a long time, that place is going to be uncomfortable and dark and scary. That's the place where God does things through his power, so that we can be in absolutely no doubt that it came from him and not through us. And friend, in my experience, really, it's only as I look back on those times that I can truly see and truly comprehend how amazing the power of God is. Just because you or I or Gideon are afraid, it doesn't mean that God's lost his power or that God's not going to show up. Fear is natural. And I believe what God is speaking to us today is just to get still and to listen and to let him lead us and show us what he would show us. And then, like Gideon, our hearts will be strengthened. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and he said, "Get up, for the Lord has given the army of Midian into your hand." Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you live each and every day in the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or indeed watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day. And it's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. Now, it doesn't matter how dire things seem, how dark the night, how lonely the wilderness, when God gets involved, nothing can stop Him from exercising His power. That's a great theory. But knowing that, believing that deep inside, well, on those dark nights, in those lonely wildernesses, that's a whole other thing entirely. This awesome power of God is available to each man, woman, and child who puts their trust in Jesus. Don't believe me? Well, here's the way the Apostle Paul puts it, writing to his dear friends in the Ephesian church, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. He says, I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He's called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance amongst the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe according to the working of His great power. God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here to the Ephesians is that his prayer for them as they get to know God better, as God reveals Himself to them more and more and more, is that they would know the hope and the riches and the immeasurable greatness of His power that they already have because they believe in Jesus. The very same power, says Paul, that raised Jesus from the dead. And as one of my lecturers at Bible College, Dr. Barry Chant, taught me, those original Greek words which we now translate into the English, immeasurable greatness of His power, if we were to take those Greek words and kind of anglicize them just a tad, they'd come out sounding something like this: hyperbolistic, megathonic, dynamic power. So here's the starting point in laying hold of God's power when we're facing incredible odds. We don't need to ask God for the power, because we already have it. We need to ask God to give us a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, to open and enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we can see the hyperbolistic, megathonic, dynamic power that He has already given to us through our faith in Jesus, His Son. And maybe you remember me saying this very same thing a few weeks back, but the reason I'm saying it again here is that it is just so easy to forget this when we're afraid. And not just you and me, Gideon too. As we've journeyed together with Gideon through Judges, chapter 6, 7 and 8, we've seen how his heart wavered, how he suffered from uncertainty and panic attacks in the face of impossible odds. But God was in that place. God had gone ahead of him. And right now, I'd like to share with you what happened when Gideon and his tiny band of 300 men went up against the Midianites and the Amalekites, who numbered 135,000. Judges, chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Get up, for the Lord has given the army of Midian into your hand." After he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into their hands, all of them, and empty jars with torches inside, he said to them, "Look at me and do the same. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow my trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow trumpets around the whole camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. So the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars, holding in their left hands the torches, in their right hands the trumpets to blow, and they cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place all around the camp, and all the men in the camp ran. They cried out, and they fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord said, "Every man's sword against his fellow and against all the army," and the army fled as far as Beth Shittah towards Zerah, and as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel were called from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize the waters against them as far as Bethbara and also the Jordan. So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they seized the waters as far as Bethbara and also the Jordan. They captured the two captains of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb as they pursued the Midianites. They brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon beyond the Jordan. You see what happened? The impossible, that's what happened. And why? Was it through the might and the power of Gideon's great army? No. 300 of them against 135,000. It was by the power of God who had already gone ahead to unsettle the hearts of the Midianites and the Amalekites. It was because God was in that place in all his power that the Israelites prevailed against completely impossible odds. And my friend, when God is in that place, the enemy must flee. When God speaks, when God moves, when God is up to something, well, let me tell you, nothing, absolutely nothing is going to stand in his way. And that's exactly what the psalmist writes in Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Friend, that's the sort of power that we've been talking about. And it's that power that's available to each one of us when we put our trust in Jesus. Let me again encourage you to spend some time over this coming week just immersing yourself in this story of God and of Gideon, because it's a story that speaks volumes to us here and now about who God is, about how he brings his power to bear in our lives. The Old Testament, the book of Judges, chapters 6 and 7. And may God rock your socks off as you receive his word of power, into your heart. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a short moment during this break to share something truly important with you. We all face things from time to time that are way beyond us, obstacles that we're powerless to move. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called Victory Over Impossible Odds. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. And at the end of each chapter, there are a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the challenges in your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and your email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, it's easy when we're confronted by difficult situations. It's easy to imagine that everything's up to us. I have to fix this problem. I have to work hard. But what about God? What about his power? What about his ways and his will? How can we get out of the road and make room for God? I have to be honest. I am something of a slow learner. When it comes to laying hold of God's power in my life, which is what we've been talking about together over these past few weeks, I truly am a slow learner. Why? Because time and time again, I fall into the trap of thinking it's all up to me. Even though I've seen God do so many powerful things in my life, even though in this ministry of Christianity Works that I'm so privileged to be a part of, we've seen miracle after miracle. I mean, we wouldn't exist. I wouldn't be with you right now had God not delivered this ministry by his power over and over again. In its 53-year history, there have been so many times when Christianity Works, the ministry, has been threatened by this or by that. You wouldn't believe how Satan has arrayed the armies of hell against this ministry that tells people of the saving love of Jesus Christ. And in my short time, just on a decade now in Christianity Works, I have seen God do so many miraculously powerful things, and yet still, each and every time I'm confronted with a situation where we're facing impossible odds, it seems that my default position is, well, it's up to me. And in part, that's my personality type. I'm a leader like Gideon. The gift that God's given me is strength. But as I look around, I'm not alone. We all seem to be like that. We think that it's all up to us. Well, let's get a revelation here today. It ain't. If it was all up to us, what would it mean for God to have power and to use that power on this earth? Gideon was a natural leader. He was a strong man. And what I've seen is a man, Gideon, who is a natural leader in this story. He's naturally a strong person. Some people's gifts lie more in compassion or in serving or in giving. With Gideon, his natural gift was his strength, which makes him an ideal leader because he's able to crash through things using that strength. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." And again, then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you." God knows what he's doing. He picks a strong guy, a leader. You want that sort of guy at the head of an army that's about to fight a much, much larger army against impossible human odds. But as we've seen, if you've been able to join us over these past weeks on the program, Gideon's heart wavered. No less than four times did God have to perform miraculous signs in order to convince Gideon that God was indeed in this and that victory was assured. I love that. I love it because God's saying to us, look, don't care how strong you are, even if you are a leader, even if you have the strongest of all personality types, you can't do this on your own. You cannot overcome impossible odds in your own might. Do you get it? God deliberately picks a strong guy through whom to teach us this lesson. Thank you, Jesus. And the only way that I have learned to let go and let God do the things that only he can do is by learning his ways from his spirit through his word. Leaving room for God doesn't come naturally to most of us, I have to tell you. It's something I've had to learn, and I am still on that learning journey. It goes completely against the grain to take my hands off the wheel and say, okay, God, I've done all I can. Anything else I need to do, just let me know. But I'm standing back here because I believe that I'm going to see your power do things that I can't even begin to dream or hope for or imagine. Take the disciples. They'd been with Jesus, the 11 that remained after his death and resurrection, for just on 3.5 years. What an apprenticeship. What a Bible college. 3.5 years with Jesus on the road, watching, seeing, hearing, experiencing the power of God firsthand. If anyone was equipped to go and start the first century church, it was these guys. But just before he ascends to heaven, Jesus told them, "You're not ready. There's something else you need." Luke chapter 24, verse 49. "And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Friend, they needed power. They'd been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. What did they need? Power. Power from on high. Power from above. God's power. The power of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in each person who puts their faith in Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit who, if we'll lay our lives down at the foot of the cross, will completely drench us, completely soak us and change us, baptize us with his power. And can I tell you, as someone who for much of his life has labored at things through his own strength, what an amazing blessing that is. What a joy, what a delight it is to see God do things in power in my life. Am I still, like Gideon, a naturally strong person? Yep, of course I am. But what I delight in is when the Spirit of God counsels me to hold my tongue or take my foot off the accelerator or stop worrying about this or that because God's already gone ahead of me. For me, a huge part of God's power is not only moving impossible mountains or winning battles or overcoming obstacles. A huge part of God's power is changing me, making me malleable in the potter's hands, taking the selfishness, the anger, and replacing it with peace and with joy. Friend, that takes power. It takes extraordinary power, in my case, to set me free from sin. And that's the power that God would hand to each one of us. Not the way the world gives, because the world gives power to the rich and the famous, to those who seize power at any cost. But it's not how God gives power. No, He gives power to the faint, strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the fresh daily devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching that you need for whatever you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, Victory Over Impossible Odds, and the fresh daily devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you His peace, His joy, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.